I am so excited about this morning's message. My heart is just racing with excitement. And in Sunday school, we sort of had a preface to this morning's message. I had no idea that our Sunday school lesson would literally be a launching pad for the message. So I left Sunday school even more hyped up. And so I can't tell you what's going on in my heart. So what I'm going to do, though, this morning is I am going to just present what the Lord has given to me. I'm going to present it as prepared. I'm not going to go to the left or go to the right. Help me, Jesus. That's not a vow. That's a hope. But I don't need to say more than what I've already prepared. If I can just say this, I'll be happy. And so pray for me that God would really help me to communicate what's on my heart to give to you this morning. All right. So the Hour of Thanks reminder this coming Wednesday, Day of Thanks. When you come, don't forget to thank the Lord for what he has done for our church community. As you think about your own life, take a moment to thank him for all he has done to advance us in those focal points of faith that we pray about all year long. Let's thank him for what he has done in our lives and what he's done in our church community. One night last week after dinner, I asked Laverne if going to heaven was as simple as getting in an elevator in your home and pushing the up button. You didn't have to worry about, you know, death and all of that stuff. You just get in the elevator and push the button up and you're in heaven. I asked her, I said, would you have already pushed the button? And she said, yep, I would have already pushed that button. And she said, but I would have, in doing so, I would have missed some of the greatest blessings in my life. And I think we can all sort of say amen to that. I think all of us would have at least been greatly tempted, if not having pushed the button already, that we'd be standing there studying it. We'd be looking at it and we'd be thinking long and hard and we'd probably touched it a few times and pulled our hand back. But I think most of us probably would have pushed the button. And by the time we reach our present age, and maybe even before that, for those of you who are younger, there have been adversities. There has been adversity in our life that has probably risen to that level of desiring at one time or another to just push that button. And like Laverne, most of us have probably lived beyond that distress to see marvelous things that the Lord has wrought. Marvelous things that the Lord has done. You know, it's sort of reminds me of the former Michigan State basketball player Miles Bridges, who stayed an extra year at Michigan State just to experience college life before he, took off and went to experience the glories of the NBA. He just wanted to hang around college for a while and get the full experience of being a college student because the NBA was the rest of his career. He's going to be there, and, you know, for, you know, until he was an old man of 33, you know. So I kind of think of our life here like that, that heaven is forever. Once you push that button and you're there, that's eternity. That's going to last forever. So why not get the full experience of being here on earth? It's only going to be a temporary situation anyway. It doesn't matter. 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, even if you're 110, what is that compared to eternity? And so what I think that we want to do is to maximize the benefits of living by faith in the Lord while we're here and experiencing all the riches of a relationship with Him on earth in the way that we are able to experience it on earth, because heaven will be a very different experience for all of us. So if you're taking notes, this morning's message is titled The Us Factor. The Us Factor. Now let me tell you, 99% of this morning's message is about seeing something, not doing something. So if you're waiting for the doing part, you're going to be waiting a while. 99% of what I have to say is about seeing something, not doing something. And I'm going to give you at the very end of the message, I'm going to give you just one do. Just one at the very end. But 99% of this is about seeing something. You know, I believe so much of our relationship development with the Lord is a matter of receiving more sight. Amen. Not about applying more might. It's about seeing more, not doing more. About understanding more, not trying more. It's about seeing. When our eyes are open, we have a different experience. So our text this morning is Philippians chapter 4, and it's verse 4. And you don't have to turn there because it's just one little verse. And I'm going to quote it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. That's it. That's our verse for this morning. That's our text. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And the main idea is this. The us factor is the substance. The us factor is the substance, the power, and the joy of our personal relationship with the Lord. The us factor is the substance, the power, and the joy of our personal relationship with the Lord. The us factor. The instruction is to rejoice in the Lord always. But I don't want you to think so much of this as something to do. When you hear rejoice in the Lord, immediately our minds go to doing that. Okay? I don't want you to think of doing it. I want you to think of rejoicing in the Lord as a place to be, not something to do. Just asking you to change your perspective just a little bit this morning. Work with me. Don't think of it as this is something to do. I want you to think of it as something to be. And I want to use a verse out of Habakkuk. And if you want to turn there fast, you can. But if not, I will just quote it. Habakkuk chapter 3, famous verses 17, famous passage 17 through 19. Okay. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen. Think about how many times no is being mentioned in this. No means nothing. It means nada. No means it ain't there. No sheep in the pen. No cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Yes, I'm choosing to rejoice, says Habakkuk. I'm choosing to rejoice, but the Lord is the one who's providing the inspiration. And the Lord is the one who's providing the strength. And that's why I'm calling this the us factor. It's an us factor because the Lord's never going to just possess us. Sometimes we want him to, don't we? Lord, you just take over and make it happen. But the us factor is about us and the Lord. It's about each one of us individually and the Lord. The us factor is your unique and personal, distinct walk with Him. It's not about us, it's about you. It's about you and Him. The us factor is what's going on between you and Him. Okay? The Lord will never just take us over. It's always a collaboration with Him. It's always a collaboration. That's why it says in Philippians 2, work out your salvation, for God is at work in you. There's that partnership. We have some participation in the process, but God is the one who's doing it. It's a mysterious union. It's an us factor. It's a we thing. It's a he and me thing. That's what I'm talking about, your us factor today, and its relevance to enjoying this experience called life in Christ. So I want you to think about the destination of being in that place that Habakkuk describes, upon the heights. When you think of being there, when you think of the destination, it affects the way you perceive the climbing. So you think about that place of rejoicing, as Habakkuk put it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Think of it as being a place that's full of joy. Think of it as being a place that is full of fullness, of substance, of power, of joy. What if this place of substance, power, and joy, what if it could be a place you could visit with greater and greater frequency as time went on? What if? Think with me for a moment. What if that place, rejoicing in the Lord, was not something that you did, but it was a place you visited? And you could visit it with greater and greater frequency. What if, as your relationship with the Lord grew? What if, as your relationship with Him grew, not your discipline in doing it, but your relationship with the Lord grew? What if, as your relationship with the Lord grew, this became more and more of a reality for you and less of a task, less of a discipline? That's what I'm suggesting. That is what I'm suggesting. I got up this morning and something was sort of missing from the message. And I didn't know what that something was. I just didn't. It was real early this morning, and I'm going to get back here because I'm not going to get off track. But I got up and I just wasn't feeling. I was like, you know, there's something. I like what I got here, but Lord, there's something missing. There's something missing. And you know what? The Lord spoke to my heart. You know what He said? He said, it's not content that's missing. It's your courage. And it's your confidence. I've given it to you. Give it. But Lord, they're going to think I'm crazy. It's your courage. It's not content. You got it. Say it. Give it. So I'm giving it to you, but I'm scared. So here's what I got. I just want to tell you that the other day, as I was thinking about this us factor, because this is so much bigger than I'm able to express. What the Lord wants to do in you and in me, what He wants us, and what I mean us, I mean you and Him, not just all of us, right? What He wants us to be, our us factor to be, is so magnificent. It is so resplendent. It is so much bigger than you or I are imagining right now. You know, when you look out into space and you see the galaxies beyond what you're even able to see, that's what He wants to be to us. I am absolutely convinced. So let me tell you what I was scared to share with you. I wrote this in my journal. Lord, I would be scared to have someone loving me the way I am loving you. I could never be all that person would want from me. The accessibility, the attentiveness, the understanding, the acceptance, the support, all of which I am drawing from and craving from and looking to you for, I could not do that. I couldn't be that. And though I would be scared, I would be scared. You are not. You aren't scared. You know I'm going to be disappointed at times with the way you handle stuff. You know that. You know that I'm going to misunderstand you. You know that. You keep inviting me in, even though you know I'm going to feel forsaken and abandoned at times. But you keep inviting me in. And you don't flee. And you don't bail when my expectations aren't met. You don't let my reactions affect your faithfulness to me. Thank you for this revelation. Loving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength is, it's not what I'm trying to do as much as what is happening to me. And I don't know where this is leading me. It's too big. I do know that I freshly resolved today to go there. Or better yet, Lord, I affirm my desire to let you take me there. That's real stuff that's going on. That's my heart. That's what's happening to me day by day. And I don't know how to stop it. I can't. I have been taken hold of. I have been taken hold of, and I don't know where I'm being taken to. But I know it's. I'm praying this for all of us. When I talk about getting to know the Lord better, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about understanding the Bible more or being regular in your Christian duties. I'm talking about an experiential connection with Him that is so. I'm praying that God would open our eyes to this astonishing and too marvelous to believe blessing of a relationship with Him, of the privilege of walking with Him each day. The other day I was walking with, I was taking my morning walk and having a great time, robust, just enjoying enjoyable time, but the emotions took over when I thought of this little phrase. I said, Lord, it's not what's happening on the stage that I want Valley Brook to be known for. It's not their pastor that I want Valley Brook to be known for. It's not the singing, the beautiful voices of our music team. It's not the singing. It's not our community service programs. It's not even our love for one another, Lord. That's not really what I want Valley Brook to be known for. I'm praying, Lord, what I want Valley Brook to be known for is what's happening in each one of its members. And I started going through each one of you by name. And I didn't miss any of you. I'm looking around. I got all of you. It's what's happening in Donna. That's what I want Valley Brook to be known for. It's what's happening in Janice. And I went through all of you, and I didn't get tired. I got more and more excited because I see He is doing that. And it just made me want to even pray more. Lord, that's what I want Valley Brook to be known for. Not our program, but what's happening in each person. What you're doing in each individual, how you are showing up, the us factor that's taking place with Josel and with Marty. I didn't miss y'all either. I prayed for all of you. And when I did, I didn't think of all of you at once. I'm still going along and I'm praying. And when somebody else came to mind, I'd say, it's what's happening in Gene. And I'd keep on praying about something else. It's what's happening in Brian as he came to mind. And I did not lose any energy or any steam. I was excited because I could both see what God is doing and what more he wants to do in each of our lives. A growing joy, a growing fascination, a growing desire. You read it this past Monday when I wrote it in the Monday Morning Boost. When I said, you know, there are things my wife and I want to do, Laverne and I. There are things we want to do. I'm talking about the us factor here. There are things that Laverne and I want to do, places we want to go, things we want to have. But those things don't limit or define our relationship. It's not about, you know, all the stuff that we want. Because it's not, we don't miss the best parts of the relationship that we have with one another. We don't simply mark time while we wait for this or that. We engage on all kinds of subjects. We surprise each other. We enjoy the small things. We team up on problems and challenges. We work through our misunderstandings. In other words, our relationship is bigger than any specific thing we want. In the same way, let us not allow the things we want the Lord to do for us or give to us define or limit our relationship with him. Let's not put enjoying him on hold while we wait for him to fix it. All you're good for, Lord, is fixing it. All I want you for is to fix it. There's more of him. Instead, let us be aware of and appreciative of the small things or the surprising things like we were talking about in Sunday school, the surprising things the Lord does of working through our misunderstandings of him. Because unlike a marriage, he's always right. He is always right. And he always loves perfectly. So if there's a misunderstanding, it's on our part. So we're working through our misunderstanding, not his. But still, he lets us hang out there with him and work through our misunderstanding. He's not going to say, oh, now I understand. Oh, now that you've explained it, I got it. Oh, I didn't see that. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. So he wants us to work through our misunderstandings till we come to a conclusion and say, I'm glad you got it, Lord. But it's us that really got it. Amen. So as we work through our misunderstandings, and in short, while we're waiting on the Lord for the big things, let's not miss the best things about our relationship with him, which our growing understanding of who he is, of who we are to him, and how much he loves us. See, this is the us factor. Again, us means each one of us and the Lord. Let me have a little fun with you. Pardon me for a moment as I go old school. Old school secular for just a minute. How many of you guys remember the Intruders? Well, you'll remember him by this song. I'm telling you, I'm going old, old school. Now, this is not my old school. This is my brother who's older than me. It's his old school. I just happened to be raised in the same house, and he was playing it on the radio, but I was much younger. So these are his Intruders. I just happened to absorb it. Oh, we could be on a desert, lost without a place to go. And we're so in love and love with each other that we wouldn't even know. Oh, I don't care any place, anywhere, just as long as we are there. Baby, baby. Together. Together. Baby, just you and me. Oh, how happy we'll be. And oh, listen, we could be in poverty. No one to lend a helping hand. But it's all right, I know, because you always understand. Oh, I don't care. Any place, anywhere, just as long as we can share together. See, that's what Habakkuk was talking about, right? Yeah. That's in biblical terms. So those of you say, well, let's get back to the Bible. Go back to Habakkuk. That's what he was saying. No sheep, no cattle, no grapes, no nothing, no figs, nothing, just you. And I'll rejoice. And we'll be on the heights together. We'll be on the heights. You see, it's mythological when it comes to human relationships. It's our best desires, but we know that ain't true. We know it ain't true. We know that we have our little standards and things, and we have our limitations and stuff, and it doesn't, it's like we can, nothing matters at all, baby. I don't care what. No, that's not true. We know that's not true. We know that's not true. We know it, okay? But the Lord, when he says it, he means it. He does mean it. You can flip all you want as a fish, but you're not getting out the boat. You know what I mean? He's not going to abandon us. See, the Lord wants to build with us a quality of relationship that's like you just discovered you had a winning lottery ticket. I don't know what that's like, but I think we can all imagine. You got this Mega Million lottery, winning lottery ticket. It's in your hand and you're holding it. And the numbers on the TV, and you check the numbers, and you go back and you check the ticket, and you check the numbers again, and you check the ticket, and they keep on matching up, and you're really nervous now. Now you're really scared. You're about to pass out because you know you are holding the lottery ticket that's going to change your life, whether you want it to change or not. It doesn't matter what you think. Your life is about to change. And you're holding this lottery ticket, and there's excitement and there's dread, and you're pacing back and forth. What to do? Nobody knows I've got this. Nobody knows how rich I really am. Nobody knows. Well, see, here's the thing. You are holding the winning lottery ticket. And the jackpot is Jesus. And nobody knows how rich you are. And when you realize that you keep checking the numbers, you're going to start pacing. You're going to start pacing when you realize the wealth that you have. That's what's going to happen. That's the us factor that he wants to build with you and with me. He wants to build this unique relationship with us. He's the jackpot. Yes, he is. He's the grand prize. And my job, as I see it, my ministry is to help us all believe that we've won and claim that wealth in him, in him, in him, in a relationship with him, in the us factor that he wants to have with you. He wants to build this unique us with each one of us. And it's not any one particular thing, but it's a combination of features and attributes that characterize your relationship with him. It's the individual unique things that make you and him, you and him. You're us. No two are the same. No two marriages are the same. No two individual relationships with the Lord are the same. And here's sort of a promo for next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the difference between being in him and him being in us, because the scripture says that those two things exist at the same time. He is in us and we are in him. And that's more about the riches. That's more about the treasures that we have in him. But he wants to build this unique us with each one of us. And It's a combination of features and attributes that are unique, and it characterizes our relationship with him, and it leads to the effect of substance and power and joy. And you could even throw in the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians, but all of that is a part of the us factor. Yes, yes. Don't lose steam on this, brothers and sisters. You've heard me talk about this how many years? How many years? But I'm not done yet. And there is more to be said, because there is more to be had. There's more to receive and experience. Not that he's going to become any more in us, because you've got all of him you're ever going to get. You got the Holy Spirit. It's all, he's all in there. What develops is our understanding. What develops is our faith. What develops is our desire. What develops is our sight. And as that expands, so does our experience of him. See, you can walk around with the lottery ticket all you want, but until you redeem that thing, or if you don't know how much it is, you want to cash in it for $10 and it's $10 million. That's a bummer. The us factor, it's a powerful combination of intimacy with the Lord and purpose in the Lord. Those things that he's building, this intimacy and purpose. So where do I get this idea of an us factor? That's not in the Bible, you say. Yes, it is. It most definitely is. It's all over the Bible. The life of Abraham and Sarah is about the us factor between Abraham and his God, Sarah and her God, Moses, his life, Daniel, his life, Elijah, Ruth, David. All of those stories we read about in love, they're about the us factor between those people and their God. Wasn't a collective, it was about them individually with him. It was the us factor with Moses. And it was just supposed to be Moses, but Moses had some problems and he was a little bit shy, and so the Lord said, okay, Aaron can go with you. But initially, no, Moses, I called you. I have something for you to do, Moses. This is between me and you. I'm going to send you. And Moses said, I pray, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'll show you, Moses, my glory. It was about Moses and him, David and him. The Lord, wasn't nobody else out there when David slew the lion and the bear. It was the us factor. And he carried that us factor into his battle with Goliath. It's the us factor that he's developing in each one of us that the Lord wants us to value. So where do I get that? I got it from the scripture. In the New Testament, it says this. He places each one of us in the body as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Ephesians 4:16 says, as each part does its work. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift. Each one, not all y'all, each one. Amen. The us factor. All right. Each means individual versus collective. Amen. God has an individual interest in each one of us, even as he has made all of us members of one another and members of his body. He also has an individual interest in each one of us, and that individual interest is what I'm calling the us factor. It's the me and Jesus factor. It's the way you personally connect with him. It's the realness of your relationship with him. It's the impact you have together, you and him. It's your story with him, your testimony. It's the woman who ran back into the Samaritan woman who ran back into town. She ran back in there with a us factor. It was about me meeting Jesus and who he is to me. It's the preciousness of your relationship with the Lord. It's the answer to that question Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say I am? Not who do y'all say I am. It's like, who? You. Who do you say I am? You see, that's the us factor. It's the way the Lord wants to make himself attractive to others through his relationship with you. It ain't the same as everybody else. It's the us factor. Because he's got his arm around each one of you. And he is building that us factor with each one of you. He is coming up to Phil. He has his arm around Philip. And he is working in Philip and with Philip and through Philip to deepen and enhance and bring out that us factor. So as I'm praying, Lord, it's about what's happening in Phil. It's what's happening in Philip. It's about what's happening in Demetrius. That's what I want Valley Brook to be known for. It's about what's happening in Anika and what's happening in Chris. And I didn't forget you, Melissa. The us factor has unlimited growth potential. There's so much more of us to be explored and discovered. So don't settle for just coasting through the rest of your life. I don't care how old you are. There is so much more of us. You can say to the Lord, there's so much more of us to discover, Lord. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I don't want to just coast. See, I don't believe our faith walk was intended to become stale and then stall out. I mean, if our eternal experience of the Lord is going to be an ongoing revelation of his magnificence, so it must be unlimited here on earth. And that is what the scripture says. Our eternal experience of him is unlimited. It's going to go on and on and on and on. And so here on earth, we've not maxed out. Also, we can be captivated by the Lord's glory because it says his glory fills the earth. And that means everywhere we go, the Lord's glory is there. So as our travel expands, so does our awareness of the Lord's glory. As the people that we meet expand, so does the Lord's glory. As the challenges in life arise, so does the glory of the Lord. Paul said, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And coming down the home stretch of the message, the Lord determines the scope and impact of our us factor. This is not about how big or how spectacular our effects are. It's not about notoriety. It's not about fame. It's not about, you know, having some big audience or, you know, having your face plastered over some place or something, your name in lights or on a book cover. It's not about that. It's not about how big or spectacular your effect is. It's about the substance. It's about the power. And it's about the joy of your relationship with the Lord. Whatever may be the scale, or the effects, or the location. It's about the vitality of your relationship with the Lord, not the outward appearance of results. Amen. That's what the us factor is about. It's about what you are experiencing when you get up in the morning. You know, it's not about how other people are seeing you. It's about what's going on with you and him. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I told the Lord, I said, no matter what happens today, if I go up there and I just fall right out, if I fall flat on my face, if they throw tomatoes at me, I'm geeked. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Because you know why? Because no matter what happens up there, you and I are going to go on and on. And in fact, tomorrow will be more glorious. Because see, you're not hindered by how things happen. That substance and power and joy is independent of what's happening. You see, and that's what makes it valuable. You see, how are you preparing for your future? How are you preparing for your future? Is it your portfolio? I may have a no-folio. But even if I have nothing, Habakkuk says, I got something. You see, that's what the no is all about. That's a real place, brothers and sisters. Habakkuk wasn't blowing smoke. You know, it wasn't just a manner of speaking. You know, when Paul said, I consider everything loss and garbage in comparison to knowing him, that wasn't a figure of speech. It's a real place. And again, I'm not telling you to do something. I'm telling you to see something. I'm telling you to believe something. I'm telling you to say, that is a vision of something I would like if that exists. The us factor, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. In other words, it affects every other part of our lives. It's the way we respond to situations. The us factor determines the way we respond to situations. The choices that we make, the us factor affects the choices we make. It affects the way I interpret my circumstances. It affects the way I interact with people. For example, the guy that honked his horn at me and mouthed some words that I gather didn't add up to have a nice day. I could feel it welling up within me. I could feel the heat. I could feel the water coming up. I could feel it starting to boil. But you know what happened? It got right there and I could feel the Lord. I could feel the Lord turning down the heat, and it started simmering down. And you know, but I never want to get to a place in life where I don't feel that boil. Because see, then I'm an android. I'm not a human being. You see, and so the Lord's gonna allow me to have enough flesh for flavoring, you know, for seasoning. He's gonna allow me to have enough of that just so that I am able to connect and I'm able to relate and I'm able to trust him. Right? Amen. So I felt the boil. It was coming up. And then I feel the Lord turned it down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That us factor. Keep that thing going, Lord. I'm done just about here. I got this one thing I want to say. You guys read this on Friday. But I want to finish with this. Because, see, this leads right into that. See, when it comes to Christian behavior, our spiritual aspiration, our spiritual energy, what we're praying about, what we're claiming promises about, all of that, our spiritual aspiration is best aimed at growing stronger in our faith, not stronger in our flesh. Our flesh never gets better. And this should be liberating. This should be liberating because we give up trying to make it better. I mean, we give up thinking that it's, well, how come it ain't better yet? Okay? We give up this idealistic view of ourselves as being these perfect paragons. It ain't gonna happen. The flesh never gets better. You're never going to conquer the flesh. Now, that's not to say that you can't build good habits. Don't go there. I'm not saying that you can't change certain behaviors. I'm just saying that the flesh is always going to be warring. Amen. Against the Spirit. Yeah. It is always going to be in conflict with the things of the Spirit. And the scripture says the flesh is getting corrupted. It's getting worse. It's insatiable. So it's not about conquering the flesh. Victory and spirituality is not about how strong we are or how disciplined we are. That may be how the world works, but that's not spirituality in Christ. So our flesh never gets better. On the contrary, according to Scripture, it's being corrupted. And it's in conflict with the Spirit. So in a sense, when it comes to godliness, we start at zero. Or even sub-zero each day. And the Lord provides us with fresh spiritual awareness, fresh motivation, fresh effects as we engage with Him, as we walk in relationship with Him, as Paul said in Colossians, as we live in vital union with Him. The Lord doesn't want to give us stale. He wants to give us fresh. That's why it should be liberating. You know, that's why you have those verses that your standard tried and true, and some days they work and some days they don't. Because the magic's not in the verse. The magic's not in the verse. Sometimes the Lord will use that. Sometimes He'll use something else completely. It's not to say that we shouldn't have our cadre of verses. I have mine. It's not to say that we shouldn't have our spiritual routines. I have mine. But my faith is not in my routines. My faith is in the Lord Himself, who can use those routines or not. And I give Him complete freedom in my heart. Lord, if you don't do it this way, you're not shut down. Because I got a relationship with you. There's an us factor, me and you, that's bigger than any strategies. So in a sense, when it comes to godliness, we start at zero or even sub-zero each day. And the Lord provides us with fresh spiritual awareness, motivation, and effects. We need not ever rely on our own mythical storehouse of spirituality. Instead, it's wisest to follow Paul's example and seek to live our life each day by faith in the Son of God. As Paul said, the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I've been crucified with Christ. And why not live by faith in Him each day? He's promised to be with us even to the end of the age. We don't have to worry about waking up one day and finding Him not there to provide us our daily bread and grace that's sufficient for whatever lies ahead. He's always going to be there. I don't have to be it all because He is it all. And He's always going to be there. And so there's no problem with me drawing from Him day by day. That, you know, my wife said, you know, at first she didn't like the way that all sounded. She said, you know, because I feel like, you know, I'd like to think I'm getting better, you know. And that feels like starting at zero, you know. Yeah, well, that's the flesh. You know, your status with your Heavenly Father is secure. You don't have to do anything each day in order to earn His favor or His love. That's already settled. What we're talking about is our day-to-day life experience. What we're talking about is our day-to-day navigation of life. You can try to do it in your own strength. You can try to do it by conquering your own flesh, or you can do it by relying upon the One who said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be. What you need? What do you need? I'm here with you in this situation. You don't have to figure it all out, know it all out, have it all memorized. When you're in every situation, have an index card for every situation that you pull out to try to fix it. Why are you doing all that? Why? I'm with you. And I'm never going anywhere. And I'll bring things to mind. And I'll remind you of the stuff. And through using the tools He has given us, prayer, thanksgiving, fellowship, meditation, what He wants us to use those tools for is not to figure out how to do it on our own. Because that's what we want. Sometimes we grab those and we want to make it happen ourselves. Give me those verses so I can control this situation, so I know what to do. I'm in control. Thank you, Jesus. Right? But what He wants us to do is to use those tools that He's given us. Prayer, very valuable. Of course, it's communication. I'm not in any way diminishing the value of those tools. It's how we use them. That's where the problem can come in. With anything, it's how you use them. That's why I love Samson, the story of Samson, when he slayed 1,000 of the Philistines with a jawbone. And then he threw that thing away. That's the best verse in the Bible. He threw it away because he didn't idolize the jawbone. You know, boy, I'm going to take this job on with me, boy. You know what? I'm gonna give conferences on this job on. You know what? I'm going to sell this job on. I'm going to multiply it, make money, preach about the job on. It's not the job on. It's the one who empowered the job on. And so in the same way, the tools that we're talking about here, the tools that we're talking about, prayer and thanksgiving and all those tools and fellowship, important, meditation. He wants us to trust him to use everything that happens to us every day to strengthen our us factor. So he wants us to use the tools of prayer and fellowship and Bible study and meditation to deepen our trust in him. And here's your to-do. To trust him to use everything that happens in your life every single day to build your us factor with him. Changes the way you see the world. Lord, I don't like this, but Lord, I certainly want to trust you to use this to build our us factor. Because see, that's the real prize.
Yes. Yes, sir.
That's what we've been talking about. That's why I wanted to talk about the prize first. Because that's the prize. And when we believe that, then we're going to find ourselves actually there, rejoicing in the Lord and experiencing the substance, the power, and the joy of our personal relationship with him. Because it will change the way you experience your life.
Hallelujah.
You know, Lord, this is about us. Thank you, Jesus, and I'm done.
Hallelujah.